Holy Gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Ages 3 to 10 are invited now to go to the music room with Miss Katie for stories and music and prayers, and we'll return at the piece.
Through the written word and the spoken word, God, help us to hear your living word, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A multitude of camels and an unknown number of magi follow a star to a baby shower in a barn. And all they bring is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The text in Isaiah does not tell us how many camels will come, but they will be from Midian, Ephah, and Sheba. The text also does not tell us how many magi travel to pay homage to Jesus, but we know they come from east of Jerusalem. If we read Isaiah with a Christian lens and we read Matthew's gospel, what is infinitely clear is that Jesus can draw a crowd, even in his infancy. It's likely that when Isaiah speaks of camels coming from many places with gifts, he's speaking more broadly of the impact of the Messiah on the nations. Each of these camels might be seen as a symbol of a person or a family unit or a tribe. A Messiah will have far-reaching impacts for many people, their lives, their livelihoods, and their livestock. And those incredible impacts will draw disparate people together in celebration of this Messiah. Even if Isaiah is referring to more than just camels, I do think it's fun to consider a parade of thousands of camels going to visit Jesus. And if we allow ourselves to see this image and pair it with the other phenomenon described in Isaiah, we can see that God's power over creation is incredible. There will be a multitude of camels, but before that, there will be a great darkness covering the land, and then a great brightness and radiance. Facets of creation are involved in Isaiah's prophecy and in what people are awaiting as they look for the Messiah. We Christians read Isaiah with Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophecy. It's worth pausing for a moment to note that often Christians have taken this reading to mean that our Jewish siblings have missed something. And that's a mindset that has caused harm over the centuries. We can read the text with the lens of Jesus without assuming that the only possible fulfillment is Jesus. Matthew would have been well read in Isaiah's prophecies and would likely have geared his writing of the gospel to read in response to Isaiah. In writing, he would have focused on details that show Jesus as the fulfillment. The Magi, who we often see riding on camels, gathered with those same gifts of gold and frankincense that Isaiah mentions. The star of Bethlehem, which guided the Magi, might have been the bright light of which Isaiah speaks. It's a glorious story. It's no wonder we continue to act it out in pageants and nativity scenes. It's also an admittedly odd story. I started by naming somewhat facetiously that an unknown number of people come bearing gifts that don't seem entirely helpful for an infant. So why do we get this narrative? It's much more than Isaiah and Matthew being good storytellers, though they certainly are. As we celebrate this Feast of Epiphany, I think that this glorious and unexpected story can offer us multiple epiphanies. Starting with that reminder that in this glorious and unexpected story, we see our God who is ever glorious and who acts unexpectedly. This is likely not a completely new epiphany for us, but it is a healthy reminder. The Magi go to Jerusalem to look for the king. They go to the center of power, where you would expect to find even an infant king. But they don't find him there. Instead, they become bearers of the gospel, which for Herod is actually deeply bad news. God does not land in the palace of a king, but instead in a stable for animals. God will always challenge our expectations. A second reminder or epiphany relates to Herod's anger and fear about the news brought by the Magi. I think that for us, more than anything, Jesus represents a saving power beyond our imagination. And I also understand that Jesus can bring us some challenges. Life as followers of Jesus can have us feeling a small glimpse of Herod's experience. Herod was deeply afraid because he knew that even the infant Jesus represented a threat to his power. Jesus and we followers of Jesus can represent a threat to power. That is, if we listen carefully. Throughout the stories of Jesus, we are reminded to care for the hungry and poor, to welcome the stranger, to dine with sinners, to release our power and wealth. If our Christianity does not at times make us think twice about our powers and privileges, we might be missing something. Herod did actually have good reason to be afraid. A third epiphany is connected to the dream the Magi have after they visit Jesus. Presumably on their journey to Jesus, as they followed this bright star, they did still intend to return to Herod. After all, King Herod had asked for more information about Jesus and his whereabouts. Maybe they spent their road trip debating whether or not they thought Herod was genuine, but we have no indication of that. Matthew does clearly tell us that the Magi experience a vision from God in a dream, warning them not to return to Herod. The epiphany that I hear in this is a great reminder to continue to listen for the voice of God. We might have a plan in mind, maybe even a really great plan. And sometimes God comes along and directs us in a new way. If we are to take part in this story with Jesus, we must always be listening. The Christian life is a life of discernment. We get to ask questions. We get to listen in community. We get to dream of the possibilities that God is still painting. As we celebrate this feast of the Epiphany, I'm reminded that our God is glorious and unexpected, that following Jesus can at times feel uncomfortable, and that God is still speaking to us. I wonder what other reminders, revelations, and epiphanies you might discover in these texts. This story of camels and watchers of stars can tell us so much about the God who loves us enough to dwell among us. I hope you'll spend some time reading these stories anew. I'll close this morning by offering a poem by way of prayer. This is written by Malcolm Guite. It might have been just someone else's story. Some chosen people get a special king. We leave them to their own peculiar glory. We don't belong. It doesn't mean a thing. But when these three arrive, they bring us with them. Gentiles like us, their wisdom might be ours. A steady step that finds an inner rhythm. A pilgrim's eye that sees beyond the stars. They did not know his name, but still they sought him. They came from otherwhere, but still they found. In temples they found those who sold and bought him, but in the filthy stable, hallowed ground. Their courage gives our questing hearts a voice to seek, to find, to worship, to rejoice. Amen.